नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। Welcome to our Bhagavata Pravaha online sessions on the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first episode of the ninth canto, we covered the first six chapters of the ninth canto. And today, we will begin the seventh chapter and we will complete up to the 13th chapter of ninth canto. In the previous episode, we have seen that King Mandhata had 50 daughters and 3 sons. And the 50 daughters of King Mandhata got married to a sage named Saubhari. And Saubhari Muni later retired from his active family life and he took to the process of devotional service and perfected his life. And the 50 daughters of Mandhata, who were the wives of Saubhari Muni, also perfected their lives by following the footsteps of their husband. And in the seventh chapter, having completed the description of the daughters of Mandhata, in the seventh chapter, Sukadeva Goswami begins the description of the sons of Mandhata. Mandhata had 3 sons, Purukutsa, Muchukunda and Ambarisha. This Ambarisha is different from the other Ambarisha we discussed in the previous episode. So Purukutsa was one of the sons of Mandhata. And this Purukutsa married Narmada. And Narmada was the sister of the serpents who live in the lower planets, Rasatala. So, induced by Narmada, Purukutsa went to Rasatala planet along with his wife. And there, he killed some people who deserved to be killed. There were some Gandharvas who came to Rasatala and Purukutsa killed them because they deserved to be killed. And Nagas or the serpents, especially Vasuki, gave a benediction to Purukutsa saying that whoever hears this whole story of Purukutsa coming to Rasatala and killing the Gandharvas would be freed from any fear of snakes. So this was the benediction given. So that is a small story about Purukutsa and his descendants are described. And in the dynasty of Purukutsa, there is a personality named Satyavrata. This Satyavrata is also called Trishanku because Trishanku, he has performed some mistakes and because of 3 faults in his character, he is called Trishanku, although he was originally named Satyavrata. So this Trishanku has kidnapped the bride of a Brahmana. He kidnapped the daughter of a Brahmana while she was getting married. And because of this mistake, Trishanku's father cursed him. So he became very angry. So that's one of the mistakes that he has done. So Trishanku then became a chandala because of the curse of his own father. So father said that how can you kidnap a bride of a Brahmana? So I curse you to become a Shudra. Then Trishanku or Satyavrata became a Shudra named Trishanku. And later he went to Vishwamitra, says Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra sent Trishanku to the heavenly planets in the same body. But by the power of demigods, Trishanku did not enter the heaven. He just, with his head upward, he came down towards the lower planet, towards the earthly planet. Then Vishwamitra, by his own mystic power, allowed Trishanku to stay there in the middle only. He did not fall all the way down to the ground. So even now also, he is hanging in the middle of Bhumandala and the heavenly planets. So that is the story of Trishanku. So then Trishanku also, he displeased his father, that was one of his faults, and he also killed a milking cow of his guru, and he also enjoyed some unsanctified items. So these are the 3 faults of Trishanku, that's why he is called Trishanku. So this is another small story of Trishanku in the lineage of Purukutsa. So then in the lineage of Trishanku, means the direct son of Trishanku was named Harishchandra. So Harishchandra did not have a son. So he performed a sacrifice to please demigod Varuna. He he prayed to Varuna that, my dear Varuna, if you allow me to have a son, with that same son, I will perform a sacrifice to you and please you. So then by the benediction of Varuna, Harishchandra got a son. And the son's name was Rohita. But this son was meant to be sacrificed by Harishchandra for the pleasure of Varuna. This is a human sacrifice. But Harishchandra became so attached to his son and he did not conduct sacrifice to Varuna. When Varuna came, you have received a son by my boon. Why don't you perform sacrifice now? Then Harishchandra said, when the animal grows teeth, then animal is fit to be sacrificed. So please wait till the animal grows teeth. Then Varuna waited and then came back. Then again Harishchandra gave some reasons. Like that, so he gave so many reasons to just postpone the sacrifice, mainly because of his attachment towards his son. So first he said that after 10 days of birth we can sacrifice. Later he said that when he grows teeth, I will sacrifice. Then when the teeth fall out, then I will conduct the sacrifice. Then he also said that when the teeth grow again after falling off, then I can conduct sacrifice. Then he again said that because this boy is a Kshatriya, so let him gather knowledge of fighting with an enemy, then I will conduct sacrifice. So like that, he was giving so many reasons to eventually postpone the sacrifice to Varuna, because Harishchandra developed a lot of affection and attachment towards his son Rohita. And as Rohita grew up little bit, he understood that his father intended to sacrifice him to please demigod Varuna. So Rohita took up his bow and arrows and ran away from the kingdom. He went into the forest. He wanted to escape. And later, because Varuna was displeased, Harishchandra developed a disease called dropsy. So his abdomen became so huge because of this disease. Then Rohita was in the forest and Rohita heard that his father was attacked by this disease, dropsy. And so Rohita wanted to return back to the capital to see his father. But Indra came and somehow bewildered Rohita and diverted Rohita's path. And he told, you better go for pilgrimage. That is, you will get a lot of pious credits. Then Rohita was diverted towards pilgrimage and Rohita did not come to the capital to see his father. So next year again Rohita tried to come and again Indra came in the form of a old Brahmana and again he diverted Rohita. Like that 5 years Rohita was not allowed to come to this capital. Then in the 6th year Rohita finally came back to his capital. But this time he purchased a slave from Ajigartha. There is a personality named Ajigartha, who was the father of Sunashepa, and the Sunashepa, a boy, was given as a slave to Rohita. And Rohita purchased this Sunashepa and presented this Sunashepa to his father Harishchandra. He said that, my dear father, you can conduct that human sacrifice with this Sunashepa. Then Harishchandra began performing his sacrifice, but in that sacrifice, Sunashepa was not killed. Because Vishwamitra was one of the priests of sacrifice and Vishwamitra accepted Sunashepa as his own son. Nevertheless, a sacrifice has been conducted without killing this boy. But nevertheless, Varuna was pleased and Harishchandra's dropsy was gone. So this is like one of the episodes in the lineage of Sun dynasty. Harishchandra was a great king. And once, because of Harishchandra, there was a great quarrel and fight between Vasishta and Vishwamitra. Vasishta and Vishwamitra are always disagreeing with each other. They always have some fight with each other. So once Vishwamitra acted as a priest in the sacrifice conducted by Harishchandra, and in the name of accepting some donation or dakshina in that sacrifice, this Vishwamitra has taken away an entire property of Harishchandra. Then Vasishta did not like this. So Vasishta cursed Vishwamitra to become a bird, and Vishwamitra also cursed Vasishta to become a bird. Like that, they took the form of birds and then started fighting with each other. So such kind of fights happen in highly elevated circles also sometimes, so in this material world. And later Harishchandra was enlightened by Vasishta. So Vasishta Vasishtha gave spiritual knowledge to Harishchandra, and eventually Harishchandra retired from his kingdom and he perfected his life and he attained liberation. So these are few stories in the 7th chapter of 9th canto. Now we will enter the 8th chapter. So 8th chapter describes the story of King Sagara. So Sukadeva Goswami describes that in the lineage of Harishchandra's son Rohita, there was a great king named Bahuka. And this Bahuka died, and Bahuka's wife was about to perform sati. But she was the only pregnant wife there. But Aurva Muni, the spiritual master, the guru of this Bahuka, stopped this Bahuka's wife from entering sati. Sati means a wife, out of her separation from her husband, she also enters the funeral pyre when the dead body of the husband was being burnt. But Arumuni did not allow Bahuka's wife to do that, because she was pregnant. There was a child within the womb of Bahuka's wife. So then, because she was pregnant and other wives of Bahuka were not pregnant, they became envious of this lady, and they poisoned their co-wife, so that the child could die. But somehow the child did not die, but the child was born with poison. Poison in Sanskrit is called gara, and this boy was born along with that gara, so he is called Sagara. So that's how Sagara Maharaj took birth. So Sagara Maharaj followed the order of his guru Aurva Muni, and he did not kill some uncivilized men. And also Sagara Maharaj performed so many elaborate sacrifices. And once he was performing an Ashwamedha sacrifice, and the sacrificial horse was stolen by Indra. Then this Sagara Maharaj had two wives actually. One is Sumati, other is Keshini. So Sumati's sons went to search for the horse. So while searching for the horse, they started digging the entire earth and somehow managed to reach Ganga Sagar, where Lord Kapila, who enlightened his mother Devahuti, we discussed his story in the 3rd canto of Bhagavatam. This Lord Kapila was doing his tapasya, and then he is staying at his hermitage near Ganga Sagar. So somehow the horse was found next to Kapila, close to his hermitage. Actually Indra has put the horse there. But Sagara's sons saw that the horse was there near Kapila Muni's hermitage, so they thought that this Kapila must be the thief. So they immediately said, "Kill him, kill him, he is the thief, he has stolen the horse." But because they offended a great personality, without understanding the facts, they misunderstood Kapila. They thought that this Kapila was a thief, although he was the Supreme Lord's incarnation. He is beyond any material desires or all the material modes. So because of this offense towards Kapila, all the sons of Sagara were burned to ashes because of fire generated because of that offense. So when somebody offends a great personality, the offense itself will ruin a person. So many people think that Kapila has burned the sons of Sagara to ashes, but Kapila did not burn them. Their offensive attitude itself burned them to ashes. So then Sagara Maharaj's sons died, and Sagara Maharaj had another wife named Keshini, and this Keshini's son is named Asamanjasa, and Asamanjasa's son is Amshuman. This Amshuman was a great assistant of his grandfather Sagara, and he used to follow the instructions of Sagara a lot. But somehow Sagara's son Asamanjasa was a great mystic yogi. In fact, he fell down from his previous life, so from his practices, and somehow he remembered his previous life. Then Asamanjasa used to display himself as a very miscreant, and he would even kill boys, and he would throw boys into water bodies. So like that, he externally behaved as if he is a madman and a cruel person. So Sagara has banished this Asamanjasa. Then Asamanjasa was released from this kingdom life, and then he displaced his tendencies as a yogi, and he even brought back the boys whom he threw into the ocean. So then later Sagara regretted, but nevertheless Asamanjasa's son, that is Amshuman, was very loyal follower of Sagara Maharaj. So Amshuman went to search for the horse, sacrificial horse, and Amshuman's uncles were the other sons of Sagara. They were burnt to ashes near Kapila Muni's ashram. So Amshuman went all the way to Ganga Sagar and found the horse near Kapila Muni's ashram, and he also saw that all his uncles, they were lying there in the form of piles of ashes. So then Amshuman met Lord Kapila and offered sincere prayers to Lord Kapila, and he glorified Kapila in various ways. Lord Kapila performed Lord Kapila enlightened his own mother with Sankhya philosophy, as we have discussed in the third canto of Bhagavatam. And after glorifying Kapiladev in so many ways, Amshuman heard from Kapiladev that the uncles of Amshuman would be revived, would be brought back to life when Mother Ganges descends on this planet. So by the touch of the water of Mother Ganges, this Sagara's sons would be revived. So then Amshuman tried, and Amshuman has taken the sacrificial horse, but he could not bring Ganges down to this earthly planet, so he has to pray. So Amshuman performed so many austerities for a very long time, but he could not bring down Ganges. And Amshuman's son is Dilipa, and Dilipa also tried, but he also failed to bring Ganges down to this planet. Then Dilipa's son was named Bhagiratha. So Bhagiratha performed severe austerities to please Mother Ganga and requested Mother Ganga to descend onto this earthly planet and deliver his forefathers, the sons of Sagara. Then finally Mother Ganga was very much pleased with the austerities done by Bhagiratha, and she agreed to come to this earthly planet. Then Bhagiratha, when he requested Ganges like this, Ganges asked two questions. Mother Ganga asked Bhagiratha two questions. Okay, I will come down to this earthly planet, but I have two concerns. When I descend onto this earthly planet, I descend with great force. Who will bear my force? If somebody cannot bear my force, I can even pierce Bhumandala and enter Patala Loka and enter even lower planetary systems also. Someone has to bear my force. Then Bhagiratha requested Lord Shiva to bear the force of Ganges, and Shiva agreed readily. And Ganges, Mother Ganga, has another concern. She says that when I descend as a river onto this earthly planet, so many sinful personalities will come and bathe in my waters. What will happen to me? I should be accumulating all the sinful reactions of all these people, or what? Then Bhagiratha told in the beautiful shloka, in the 9th chapter, 6th shloka, he says, Sadhavo nyashinaha syanta brahmishta loka pavanaha harantyagham tenga sangha teshvastehi aghabhidharihi. He says, Sadhavo nyashinaha syantaha. Sadhus and sannyasis means renunciants are shanta, they are very peaceful. Sadhavo nyashinaha shanta brahmishta loka pavanaha. Brahmishta means they are fixed up in their worship of the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Lord. And loka pavanaha, they can purify the entire universe also. Sadhavo nyashinaha shanta brahmishta loka pavanaha haranti agham te anga sangat. My dear Ganges, don't worry. When such sadhus take bath in your waters, you will be relieved from all the sins that you have accumulated because of the bathing of sinful people in your waters. So pure devotees can even purify the holy Ganges river also from the accumulation of sin from other people. So that is the purifying potency of holy devotees of the Lord. Yeshu aste aghabid harihi. Lord Hari is aghabid. Aghabid means one who can vanquish all sinful reactions. So all the pure devotees hold Lord Hari within their hearts. they have the potency to purify even Ganges from any sinful contamination. So when Bhagiratha said like this, Mother Ganges became extremely happy and she agreed to descend onto this earthly planet, and then she started descending and she followed Bhagiratha, and Bhagiratha took Mother Ganges all the way to the Ganga Sagar where Kapilamuni was performing his austerities. There Mother Ganges touched the waters of Mother Ganges touched the piles of ashes which were actually the sons of Sagara, and then Sagara's sons revived. They were revived back to their lives. So in this way, Bhagiratha was extremely determined to bring Ganges to this earthly planet. Whoever shows deep levels of determination are compared to Bhagiratha sometimes, because Bhagiratha was very determined to bring Ganges to this earthly planet. And if Ganges is there on this earthly planet, we need to acknowledge Bhagiratha for this. So this is how Ganges river descended onto this planet. And in this great lineage of Bhagiratha, there was another king named Khatvanga Maharaj. And even before Khatvanga, there is another king named Sudasa. And Sudasa's son is Saudasa. So this Saudasa is also called Mitrasaha and Kalmashapada. The reason is, he has done certain activities that brought these names to him. So this Saudasa once went to the forest and he killed a demon. And the demon had another brother. So Saudasa killed one demon, but he did not kill the other demon. So his brother. So then the other demon became very envious and revengeful towards Saudasa, and he came to Saudasa's kingdom and he joined as a cook in Saudasa's kitchen. So he disguised himself as a cook and he started cooking in Saudasa's kitchen. So one day this Saudasa called his guru Vasishta for meals. So when Vasishta was invited, Vasishta accepted that invitation and came to eat at the home of Saudasa. At the time, Saudasa's cook, who was actually a Rakshasa, a demon, he cooked human flesh and he served human flesh to Vasishta. And Vasishta became extremely upset. He was so offended. Am I a demon? Saudasa, you are calling me to your house. You invited me as a guest and I am a Brahmana and you are feeding me human flesh. Do you think that I am a demon? I am a Rakshasa to eat human flesh? I curse you to become a demon because you are feeding me human flesh as if I am a demon. Then Saudasa became very upset. In fact, it was not the mistake of Saudasa to feed human flesh to Vasishta. It happened because of this demon who joined his kitchen. But Vasishta became a little impulsive and he did not think so much before cursing Saudasa. Then Saudasa became angry and he also took little water to throw it on Vasishta and curse him. Then immediately Saudasa's wife stopped Saudasa. He is your guru, he is a Brahmana, you are not supposed to curse him. So please don't curse him. So then Saudasa did not curse Vasishta, and sanctified water, the water on which he chanted mantras, has to be thrown somewhere. So Saudasa just threw it on his legs only. So there were some black spots on his legs because of this water. So that's why Saudasa is also called Kalmasha Pada. Kalmasha is contamination, Pada is feet. So Saudasa's feet were a bit affected because of that sanctified water. So he's also called Kalmasha Pada. And he's also called Mitrasaha because his wife acted as his friend. His wife advised him not to curse his guru. So he is also called Mitrasaha. So nevertheless, Saudasa was cursed to become a demon, and later Vasishta regretted. Oh, I did not consider the situation of Saudasa, and out of anger and impulsive nature, I cursed Saudasa, who was actually innocent. He did not intentionally do this mistake. It just happened because of that cook. So Vasishta regretted for this. And Vasishta said that you The Saudasa would be developing tendencies of a demon only for 12 years, and after 12 years he will be relieved from this curse. And Vasishtha also went for pilgrimage as an atonement for the mistake that he has done towards his own disciple Saudasa. Then eventually Saudasa developed tendencies of a demon, a man-eating rakshasa, and he was wandering with that nature. So once he saw a brahmana and a brahmani. A brahmana and his wife were about to unite. At that time this Saudasa entered there, and he saw this brahmana, and he immediately wanted to eat that body of brahmana. Because he developed the tendencies of a man-eating demon, he wanted to eat that brahmana. Then the brahmana's wife prayed to Saudasa, "Oh Saudasa, you are not a man-eating demon. You are a great king, and my husband is about to impregnate me so that I can get some children. So at this time when we were uniting, it's not appropriate on your part to kill my husband like this." So although she prayed in various ways, because of the unsurpassable destiny or fate of Saudasa, he killed that brahmana and he ate his flesh. Then the brahmani became extremely upset and cursed Saudasa. Just as you killed my husband when he was impregnating me, whenever you, Saudasa, whenever you try to impregnate your wife, you will also die. So she cursed Saudasa like this. So then Saudasa had to receive another curse by his fate. And after 12 years, Saudasa's man-eating demoniac tendencies just went away. And then he became like a normal king. And one day, he was about to unite with his wife to impregnate her so that she can have some children. But Saudasa's wife told, no, that brahmani cursed you. You will die if you try to unite with me. Then Saudasa did not proceed. And later, with the permission of Saudasa, Vasishtha blessed Saudasa's wife with a child. So in this way, Vasishtha gave the benediction of having a son to Saudasa. So in that lineage of Saudasa, there was a great king named Khatvanga. This Khatvanga Maharaj assisted the demigods in some fight. Then finally, he asked the demigods, "How much time do I have in my lifetime?" Then the demigods told Khatvanga Maharaj that you have only one moment, means one muhurta to live. Then Khatvanga Maharaj utilized that one muhurta, which is 48 minutes period. So he utilized that one muhurta in completely remembering the Supreme Lord. He was so absorbed in seeing in remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and he perfected his life in that one muhurta only. So he was thinking, "I will focus on the Supreme Lord, and all the material desires and material enjoyment in this world is just a phantasmagoria. It's like a Gandharvapura. It's like an imaginary city in the sky that we see." So he relinquished everything material, and he completely focused his mind on the Supreme Lord, and he perfected his life. So Khatvanga Maharaj's example is often quoted in the context of a discussion of perfection of life. So Khatvanga Maharaj perfected his life within just one moment only by dedicating himself to the Supreme Lord. What will happen if you dedicate your entire life for performing bhakti unto the Supreme Lord? So Khatvanga Maharaj is a great king. So later, the grandson of Khatvanga Maharaj was Raghu. And the grandson of Raghu was Dasaratha Maharaj. And Dasaratha Maharaj's son was Lord Ramachandra. So we completed 9 chapters, and in the 10th and 11th chapters, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described. So once all the demigods went to Lord Brahma, because so many demoniac people were tormenting the people in heavenly planets and in the earthly planet also, especially Ravana. So all the demigods went to Brahma, and Brahma took all the demigods to Vishnu. So then Vishnu said that, "I will be descending very soon as Lord Ramachandra along with my brothers Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, and all of you demigods also take birth as monkeys in the earthly planet. So with your assistance, I will go and kill Ravana and many other demonic people. Then on the earthly planet, this Dasaratha Maharaj, who was a descendant of Katkamanga Maharaj, so he performed a yajna under the guidance of Vasishtha Muni and other Brahmanas. So from that sacrificial fire, the Yajna Purusha came and offered payasam to Dasaratha Maharaj. And Dasaratha Maharaj had three wives, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. And Dasaratha Maharaj divided this payasam amongst his three wives, and later he got four sons, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. So these four sons were taken care of by Dasaratha Maharaj, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi so nicely, and they grew up under the guidance of their guru Vasishtha. And eventually this Vasishtha, Vishwamitra once came to the kingdom of Lord Ramachandra, of Dasaratha Maharaj. At the time Ram was not king, Ram was just a prince. So Vishwamitra requested this Ram and Lakshman to be sent by Dasaratha Maharaj, because Vishwamitra was doing some sacrifice in the forest, and some demons like Maricha and Subahu were coming and unnecessarily obstructing the sacrifice of Vishwamitra. So Vishwamitra wanted the assistance of Ram and Lakshman. So he came to Dasaratha Maharaj and requested Dasaratha Maharaj, "My dear Dasharath, can you please send your son Ramachandra to assist me in my sacrifice?" And initially Dasaratha Maharaj hesitated that how can I send my young boy Ram to fight with such ferocious demons? He's so tender. So but Vasishtha advised Dasaratha Maharaj, no, you don't worry, you can please send Ram along with Vishwamitra, don't worry. Then Vishwamitra took Ram along with Lakshman also to the forest. So there Ram killed a lady demon named Tataka. So in fact Ram was hesitating, because this was the first demon that he is going to kill, and that happened to be a woman. So Ram was hesitating to kill Tataka, but Vishwamitra said, no, you should kill Tataka, because she is a demoness, and although she was a woman, she is performing so many nefarious activities. As a demon, she is troubling so many people. So you should not hesitate. So then Ram understood that Guru's grace is more important than public disgrace. Although people might criticize me that I have killed a woman, but still my Guru is instructing me, and that woman happens to be a demon also. So without any hesitation, this Ram killed Tataka. And later Ram went with Vishwamitra to assist him in his sacrifice. And when Vishwamitra is conducting sacrifice, demons came, Maricha and Subahu came to create a lot of disturbances in Vishwamitra's sacrifice. Then Ram killed Subahu, and he also made Maricha to just run away several yojanas, and then Maricha ran away. And later Vishwamitra took Ram and Lakshman towards Mithila, where Janaka Maharaj was there along with his daughter Sita Devi. On the way, Lord Ramachandra has touched a stone, and the stone has become another beautiful woman named Ahalya. So Ahalya was, because of some curse, Ahalya was lying there as a stone, and Ram delivered her from her curse. So by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, this stone became a woman. So Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet are so glorious and worshipable. So then Lord Ramachandra went ahead, and then he broke the bow of Lord Shiva in Janaka Maharaj's kingdom, and he married Sita Devi. And the marriage of Sita and Ram happened in a very very great manner, and there was a huge celebration there. And Lord Ram exhibited all great qualities. Now Lord Ramachandra is an abode of all wonderful qualities, whether he is playing the role of a son or a king or a husband or a brother. He is always ideal in his character. సో లార్డ్ రామచంద్ర ఈస్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వెంకటేశ్వర సుప్రభాతం ఇన్ దిస్ వే. అభిరామ గుణకర దాశరథే జగదేక ధనుర్ధర ధీరమతే రఘునాయక రామ రమేశ విభో వరదో భవ దేవ దయా జలధే. అభిరామ గుణాకర దాశరథే. సో లార్డ్ రామచంద్ర ఇస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ చార్మింగ్. అభిరామ గుణాకర, హీస్ ఎన్ అబోడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ గుడ్ క్వాలిటీస్. ఆల్ ద క్వాలిటీస్, గుడ్ క్వాలిటీస్ అటైన్ దేర్ పెర్ఫెక్షన్ వెన్ లార్డ్ రామచంద్ర ఎగ్జిబిట్స్ దోస్ క్వాలిటీస్. జస్ట్ యాజ్ కృష్ణ బ్యూటిఫైస్ హిస్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్, ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ కృష్ణ బికమ్స్ మోర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ బై వేరింగ్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్. ద ఆర్నమెంట్స్ బికమ్ మోర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వెన్ కృష్ణ వేర్స్ దెమ్. సిమిలర్లీ లార్డ్ రామ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ గ్రేట్ బికాస్ హీ ఎగ్జిబిటెడ్ సో మెనీ గ్రేట్ క్వాలిటీస్. ద క్వాలిటీస్ బికమ్ గ్రేట్ అండ్ ఎడోరబుల్ వెన్ లార్డ్ రామ్ ఎగ్జిబిట్స్ దెమ్. ద క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ రైచియస్ అండ్ వర్చియస్ అండ్ కరీజియస్ అండ్ ద క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ ఎ గుడ్ సన్ ఆర్ గుడ్ హస్బెండ్ ఆర్ గుడ్ father or good king or good brother, those such qualities will be glorified when Lord Ramachandra exhibits them. So he is the shelter of all great qualities. That's why he is called Gunakara. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, Hanumanji glorifies Lord Ramachandra in this way. The Lord Ramachandra is like testing stone that can verify the greatness of all good qualities. So Abhirama Gunakara Dasharadhe, he is the son of Dasharad Maharaj. Jagadeka Dhanurdhara Dhiramati. So he is the most popular bowman. So no one can utilize his bow and arrow to the degree Lord Ramachandra can do it. So Jagadeka Dhanurdhara Dhiramati, he is very sober and very gentle and very self-controlled person. Dhiramati Raghunayaka Rama Ramesha Vibho. Raghunayaka, he is the hero of the Raghu dynasty. And Rama Ramesha Vibho, he is Rama, the supreme enjoyer. Ramesha, he is the husband of goddess of fortune. Vibho Varado Bhava Deva Daya Jaladhe. And Lord Ramachandra is also an ocean of compassion. So Lord Ramachandra's marriage with Mother Sita happened in a very gorgeous manner. And at that time, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna also married. Then as Lord Ramachandra and his brothers and Sita Devi and her sisters and other Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Dasharatha Maharaj, all of them were going from Mithila back to Ayodhya. So on the way, Parashuram came there. There was a huge storm and everybody understood that Parashuram is arriving. Actually, initially nobody could detect that Parashuram is coming there. So they all were wondering. They were astonished why this kind of storm is coming. And then Vasishta and Vishwamitra said that Parashuram is going to come. And Dasharatha Maharaj asked Vasishta and Vishwamitra, what are we supposed to do now? So generally Vasishta and Vishwamitra, they don't agree with each other. So they told Dasharatha Maharaj, we generally don't agree with each other. We always have different opinion. But in this context, we both have the same opinion. Let us just bow down to Parashuram and surrender. Then Parashuram came there with great anger. So Parashuram said, who is that Ram who has broken Lord Shiva's bow? Then when Parashuram was asking, who is that Ram? Lord Ramachandra came in front of Parashuram and said that, you are Ram. Then Parashuram was taken aback. Yes, yes, I am Ram. But I heard that there is another Ram in Raghu dynasty, in Ikshvaku dynasty. So who is that Ram who has broken Shiva's bow? Then Lord Ramachandra said that, yeah, I am that Ram that you are looking for. And I did not intend to break the Lord Shiva's bow. I just wanted to lift it and string it because it was a necessity for me in Mithila, because whoever has to marry Sita Devi has to string this bow. So I just lifted it, but somehow it was broken because it's a very old bow. Then Parashuram said, oh, you are considering that Lord Shiva's bow is very old? So I challenge you, if you are so powerful, try to hold this Vishnu's bow. So Vishnu Chapa. So one is Shiva Dhanu, other is Vishnu Dhanu. Vishnu Dhanu or Vishnu Chapa. Then Parashuram closed his eyes and started meditating to invoke the presence of Lord Vishnu's bow. At the time, although he was meditating, the bow was not coming in his hands. Whenever he meditates, to invoke the presence of Vishnu's bow, it would just manifest, but it's not happening. So he again closed his eyes and meditated, again it's not happening. Again he closed his eyes and then tried to invoke the presence of Vishnu Chapa, it was not coming. Then he opened his eyes, then he saw Lord Ramachandra is already holding that Vishnu's bow. Then Parashuram understood that, oh Lord Ramachandra, you have descended, you are the Supreme Lord who have descended onto this earthly planet to kill the demons. I have killed the demoniac kings a lot. We will discuss Parashuram's pastimes in the next episode. So Parashuram has killed several Kshatriyas, 21 times he has killed. He killed the great Kartavirya Arjuna who had 1,000 hands. And he killed all the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. That is the glory of Parashuram. And now Parashuram told Lord Ramachandra, both are incarnations of the Lord. So he told Ramachandra that, my dear Lord, the purpose of my incarnation has been fulfilled. So now you have to kill the miscreants and the demoniac people on this planet. So I am just going. So Parashuram left and Lord Ramachandra went to Ayodhya. So at Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi and Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, all of them were living so happily. And at one point, Dasarath Maharaj wanted to enthrone Lord Ramachandra as the king of Ayodhya. So at that time, Kaikeyi, who was the stepmother of Lord Ramachandra, did not like the idea. Actually, Kaikeyi was extremely affectionate towards Lord Ram, but Kaikeyi had a maid servant named Manthara. This Manthara came and told Kaikeyi that Lord Ram is getting coronated. Your son is Bharat. Bharat has to be coronated. So you should just go and ask Dasarath Maharaj to give you two boons. Earlier, once Dasarath Maharaj has promised Kaikeyi that I will fulfill your desires. So you can ask any two boons from me, I will fulfill your desires. And Kaikeyi said, I am very satisfied, I don't want your two boons now. And in future, if I at all feel like asking you, I can ask you in future, but I don't want anything now. Then Manthara reminded Kaikeyi, you can ask those two boons now. So then Kaikeyi went to Dasarath Maharaj and said that, my dear husband, I have two desires. So you promised that you will fulfill my two boons, you will give me two boons. So one, you should make Bharat sit on the throne. You should coronate Bharat as the king of Ayodhya and not Lord Ramachandra. Second, you should send Lord Ramachandra to the forest to do vanavas. For 14 years he has to be in the forest. He cannot stay in the kingdom. So these are my two boons. Then Dasarath Maharaj was extremely upset with this. So Dasarath Maharaj did not like the idea of getting separated from Lord Ramachandra. So Dasarath Maharaj could not even tolerate separation from Lord Ramachandra. When Vishwamitra came and requested Dasarath Maharaj to send Ram to the forest to protect his yajna. And it was sure that after protecting that yajna, Ram would come back in few days. But Dasarath Maharaj could not even bear the thought of getting separated from Lord Ramachandra even for a few days. Now, he was bound to send Ram to Vanavas for 14 years. So Dasarath Maharaj was extremely morose and his heart was filled with pain and he could not bear the feelings of separation from Lord Ramachandra. And Kaikeyi was very much adamant. Kaikeyi said, I want these two boons at any cost. Then even other palace residents also were not in favor of sending Ram to Vanavas. But at that time, Bharat Maharaj was not there in Ayodhya. Then somehow reluctantly, Dasarath Maharaj had to send Ram to Vanavas. And when Lord Ram was going to Vanavas, then Lakshman volunteered to accompany Lord Ram. And Sita Devi also voluntarily came forward to accompany Lord Ramachandra. She said that wherever my husband is, I also have to be there. Then Lakshman and Sita Devi accompanied Lord Ramachandra and three of them went to the forest. And the entire Ayodhya was crying. They were practically in tears and many people were cursing and criticizing Kaikeyi for her desires. And many people were criticizing that she's so selfish. But Ram, Sita and Lakshman went into the forest. And in separation from Lord Ramachandra, Dasarath Maharaj has given up his body. Then on the way, Lord Ramachandra has blessed a tribal person named Guha. Guha was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra and he's a great friend also. Guha helped Ramachandra to cross that river and enter the forest. Then also Lord Ramachandra started staying in the forest and he met so many sages and brahmanas in the forest and he was blessed by so many exalted sages. And Ram, Sita and Lakshman were living in the forest, and one day a great demon named Kabandha came to attack Ram and Lakshman. And Kabandha had a very peculiar form. He had only one eye and one nose. And he has sharp teeth. So he was attacking Lord Ram and Lakshman. And Ram and Lakshman killed Kabandha. And later another demon came to attack Ram and Lakshman. And then Ram killed them also. So many demons were coming to attack Ram and Sita Devi, but Ram always killed all of them and protected them. And one day, Ravana's sister named Surpanakha came with a lusty desire to enjoy the company of Ramachandra. So Lord Ram said, I am Ekapatni Vrata. I am alone. I have only one wife. So I cannot accept another wife. You can go and accept my brother. My brother is alone now. So you can go and accept my brother. Then Surpanakha came to Lakshman. And Lakshman said that, I am a servant of Lord Ramachandra. And if you marry me, you will also become a maid servant. So I cannot accept you. Like that, when Lord Ram and Lakshman were playing with Surpanakha in this way, Surpanakha became extremely upset. And she thought that it is only because of Sita Devi that I am not being entertained. So she wanted to kill Sita. So at the time, Lakshman came and cut the nose of Surpanakha. And then Surpanakha went crying to her brother Ravana. And before that, Surpanakha also brought a lot of sena, 14,000 rakshasas she brought to fight with Ram and Lakshman. So they were headed by Khara and Dushana. So Lord Ramachandra single-handedly killed all these 14,000 rakshasas even without a chariot within a very short time. So Sita was very impressed with the prowess and the courage of Lord Ramachandra. And later, instigated by Surpanakha, Ravana developed a desire to possess Sita Devi. So Ravana went to his maternal uncle named Maricha. Maricha was that person who was trying to disturb Vishwamitra's sacrifice. So Lord Ramachandra taught him a lesson and Maricha ran away from there. And Subahu was killed in that sacrifice. So Maricha already has witnessed the power of Lord Ramachandra. So Ravana came to Maricha and requested Maricha, so let us go in disguise and kidnap Sita Devi. So these two demons wanted to disguise themselves and kidnap Sita Devi. But Maricha said that, no, I cannot assist you in this, because Ram is so powerful. How can you kidnap Ramchandra's wife? So he is extremely powerful. I have seen his power when he was a small child only. So now it's not proper for you to kidnap Sita Devi. But Ravana would not listen to Maricha's good advice. So unfortunate people do not have anyone to advise them. And even more unfortunate people, they will not accept any good advice, even if there are people who can give them that advice. So Ravana was not in a mood to listen to any advice. He was so obsessed with his lusty desire towards Sita Devi. And then he told Maricha to just assist him. Then Maricha took the form of a golden deer. And Ravana took the form of a brahmana, a sage. And Maricha went in front of Sita Devi in the form of a golden deer. And Sita Devi got attracted to this golden deer and she requested Lord Ramachandra, can you please get the deer from me? Then Ram went, although Lakshman was suspecting that it could be the illusion created by some demons, but still Ram felt that, oh, Sita Devi asked for this deer, let me just go and catch the deer, which was looking very sweet and cute. So I will just catch that deer. And give it to Sita Devi. So Lord Ram went, and Ram was chasing this deer, but the deer was not getting caught. It was just running away. So Lord Ram released an arrow. Somehow this pierced the deer, which was Maricha actually. And Maricha imitated the voice of Lord Ramachandra and called out for help from Lakshman. Then Sita Devi heard that voice. Then Sita Devi told Lakshman, "Can you please go and help your brother?" Lakshman was not in a mood to go and help Lord Ramachandra, because Lakshman knows no one can harm Ram. So Rakshasas are creating some disturbances in our lives. So he told Sita Devi, "My dear mother, Sita Devi, so don't worry about Lord Ramachandra. He will come back soon. I am worried that if I also go to assist Ram, which is not necessary, some demons will come and harm you. You will be staying alone in the hermitage." But Sita Devi said that you are having a malicious intention to possess me. It's not appropriate on your part. Then Lakshman was extremely devastated to hear this kind of words from Sita Devi, and he went to assist Lord Ramachandra. Then Sita Devi was alone, and Ravana came there in the form of a sage, a Brahmana, and he wanted to beg some food from Sita Devi. So when he came in front of Sita Devi, Sita wanted to give him some donation, give him some food. Then Ravana manifested his original form with his 10 heads and 20 hands, and then he took Sita Devi on his Pushpaka Viman, and he wanted to take her to Lanka. On the way, Ram's friend, a vulture named Jatayu, came to fight with Ravana. But Ravana has chopped the wings of Jatayu. Although Jatayu tried to fight with Ravana with all his might, but still Ravana just chopped the wings of Jatayu, and Jatayu fell down. And meanwhile, Ram and Lakshman came back to their house, and they did not find Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra lamented so much in separation from Sita Devi. So Lord Ramachandra's lamentation in separation from Sita Devi actually gives multiple levels of messages to all of us. So Lord Ramachandra gives one kind of message to one category of people. To all the followers of Dharma, Lord Ramachandra says, Lord Ramachandra shows that when your chaste wife and loyal wife is separated from you, you have to do your responsibility of reclaiming her. So Lord Ramachandra has done a lot of endeavor to reclaim Sita Devi. You can see in the rest of Ramayana. So at any cost, you have to protect your chaste wife. And you should have love for your chaste wife. So that's the message that Lord Ramachandra gave by his lamentation. And on another side, Lord Ram also gave another message to people, to the devotees, that if you are unduly attached to wife, then you will have to lament like this. So this is another kind of message that Lord Ramachandra gave. But ultimately, the spiritual pastime that is happening is Lord Ramachandra is experiencing Vipralam Bharasa in separation from Sita Devi. And Sita Devi in Lanka also, she was experiencing Vipralam Bharasa. So they are actually experiencing pure love for each other in separation. So the sweetness of meeting is enhanced by the feelings of separation. So on a spiritual level, this meeting or separation, both are a cause of great spiritual bliss. So Ram was experiencing that. Then Ram and Lakshman wanted to search for Sita Devi, and on the way they saw Jatayu. Jatayu was about to die. So then seeing Jatayu, Lord Ramachandra has performed the funeral rites for Jatayu. So Jatayu has sacrificed his life to serve Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi. That's such a glorious death. And Ram accepted Jatayu as his father and performed funeral rites. And eventually Ramachandra and Lakshman went towards the hermitage of an old ascetic lady named Shabari. And Shabari gave some berries to Ram to eat. She was first tasting those berries to check whether they are sweet, whether they are good or bad, and then offering it to Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra has taken those berries with great relish. So then later as Lord Ram and Lakshman were wandering in the forests, a Brahmana came in front of them. And that Brahmana was actually Hanuman in disguise. So Hanumanji offered obeisances to Ramachandra, and Hanumanji has taken Ram to Sugriva. And Ram and Sugriva made friendship with each other, and Ram killed Sugriva's elder brother Vali so that the Sugriva can attain the kingdom of Kishkindha. And Vali died, and Sugriva became the king, and later Sugriva organized all his monkey armies to go in different directions to search for Sita Devi. And Lord Ramachandra has given his ring to Hanumanji, and Hanumanji crossed this Lanka ocean and found Sita Devi in Lanka and gave the ring of Lord Ramachandra to Sita Devi, and Sita Devi gave her ornament to Hanumanji, and Hanumanji brought that ornament to Lord Ramachandra and then showed and told about the whereabouts and the welfare of Sita Devi. And Ram, along with thousands and thousands of monkeys, started to go to Lanka. And on the way, there was a huge ocean. Hanumanji just jumped across the ocean, but not all the monkeys can jump. There is a huge army of monkeys, millions of monkeys were accompanying Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra wanted some assistance from the ocean god. So he went in front of ocean god, and he was praying to ocean god for 3 days. But ocean god did not respond. Ram became extremely angry. Seeing the fury of Lord Ramachandra, the ocean, all the aquatics got perturbed, and the ocean god just immediately came in front of Ram and he started speaking apologies and said that, "My dear Lord, my waters will not cause any obstructions to you. So you can just happily cross the ocean. But I have one request. Although you can just walk on my waters, I request you to make a bridge with stones and wooden logs, etc. So you can make a bridge, and I will make sure that the stones that you are throwing in my waters would not just sink. They will float on the water. And by Lord Ramachandra's supreme prowess, his power would not allow the stones to drown in the ocean." So the Supreme Lord can make millions and millions of planets float in the outer space. Can't he make a stone float on water? The stone or water or any other material element in this universe attained their properties only because of the Supreme Lord's energy. So can't the Lord make stones float on water? So by the power of Lord Ramachandra, all the stones floated on water, and all the monkeys built a great bridge across this Lanka ocean, and Lord Ramachandra crossed this Lanka ocean. And when the bridge was being built, the monkeys were getting big boulders and logs, and one squirrel was trying to help Lord Ramachandra's bridge by throwing some small pebbles and sand particles. So Lord Ram blessed that squirrel also, and Hanumanji was getting big boulders. And after the bridge was built, Ram crossed this Lanka ocean, and later Lord Ramachandra also gave shelter to Ravana's brother. So Ravana has a very wonderful brother named Vibhishana, and Vibhishana advised Lord Ramachandra, advised Ravana to give Sita back to Ram, but Ravana would not listen to Vibhishan. And not only Ravana rejected the advice of Vibhishan, Ravana rejected Vibhishan also. And Vibhishan came and took shelter of Lord Ramachandra, and Vibhishan also assisted Ram by his good advice in various ways during the fight. And later Kumbhakarna fought with Ram, and Ram killed Kumbhakarna also. And in the fight, finally Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana. And when Ravana was killed, then his wives, headed by Mandodari, came there and started crying on the battlefield. Oh my dear husband Ravana, you have created a lot of pain in the heart of a chaste woman named Sita Devi. So only a chaste woman can understand the glory of another chaste woman. Mandodari was very chaste wife of Ravana. Similarly, Sita Devi was extremely chaste wife of Ramachandra. So Mandodari can understand the power of the tears of a chaste woman. Sita. So Mandodari cried and she thoroughly disapproved the activity of Ravana. And finally, Ram instructed Vibhishan to perform the funeral rites of Ravana. In fact, Vibhishan was hesitating. He was not very much enthusiastic to perform even the funeral last rites of Ravana, because Ravana is such a heinous demon. But Ramachandra said, no, the soul left the body. So now soul is always pure. He can always perform funeral rites and Vibhishan event. There was a lot of long discussion there. Then Sita Devi also entered fire and proved her chastity. And Lord Ramachandra accepted Sita Devi, and Ram, Lakshman and Sita Devi came back to Ayodhya, and they were received very affectionately by their mothers. Like Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi received Ram and Lakshman, and Ram was coronated as the king of this Ayodhya after 14 years of his exile, his Vanavas. So in that Venkateswara Suprabhatam, there is another beautiful shloka that says, Avanita naya kabaniya karam rajanika racharu mukhamburuham rajani chararaja tamovihiram mahaniya maham raghurama maye. Avanitanaya is the daughter of earth, that is Sita Devi. Kabaniya karam, Lord Ramachandra completely captivates the heart of Sita Devi. Avanitanaya kamaniya karam rajanikara charu mukham buruham. Lord Ramachandra's beautiful face is so enchanting, like the moon. Rajanikara means the king of night, that is moon. Charu mukham buruham, captivating face. Rajani chara rajatamo vihiram. Rajani chara means those people who wander in night. They are the demons. Rajani chara raja means the king of demons, that is Ravana. Tamo vihiram. Lord Ramachandra has killed this Ravana. Mahaniyamaham raghu ramamaye. That is the great mahima or greatness of Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana and he came back to his Ayodhya kingdom and he was coronated as the king. And Bharat Maharaj, so Bharat, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, was just eating barley seeds soaked in cow urine all these 14 years, and he was lying on the floor, and Ramachandra was very much impressed, and his heart melted seeing the austerities and love and affection of Bharat. So then he finally accepted the kingdom. And in this beautiful chapter, there is a shloka that glorifies Lord Ramachandra. 54th shloka. Ekapatni vratadharo rajarshicharitah suchihi swadharmam grahamedhiyam sikshayan swayamacharat. Ekapatni vratadhara. Lord Ramachandra is ekapatni vrata. He has taken a vow to accept only one wife. And rajarshicharitah suchihi. He is a rajarshi. He is a saintly king. And his entire story, his whole life, is very exemplary. Charita hashuchihi, very clean. And swadharmam grahamedhiyam, and he also was an exemplary householder. So as a grahastha, also he performed all his duties very meticulously. And sikshayan swayamacharit, he was teaching the entire humanity by he himself following the dharma of a householder. And Sita Devi is also glorified in the next shloka, 55th shloka. Premnanavrityashilena prashraya vanatasati bhiya hriyacha bhavagna bhartuhu sita haranmanaha. Premnanavrityashilena. So Sita Devi was following the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra with prema, with love. Premna anuvrityashilena. And her character is so exemplary in her service to Lord Ramachandra that prashraya vanatasati. She actually served Lord Ramachandra in a very chaste manner. And bhiya hriyacha bhavagna. She had shy, she had respectful fear, and bhavagna. She exactly understands the mood of Lord Ramachandra, her husband. And bhartuhu sita haranmanaha. And Sita has completely captivated the heart of her husband. And Sita Devi, although she is such a chaste woman, once a washerman commented on Sita Devi, how could Lord Ram accept a woman who has spent a lot of time in someone else's house. So just to address such kind of comments by such people, and later in future, lusty kings should not just quote Lord Ramachandra as an example and maintain illicit affairs with other women. So just to set this example, Lord Ramachandra has left Sita Devi in Valmiki's ashram, and there she has given birth to Lava and Kusha, and after that Sita Devi went into earth, her went in inside the earth along with Bhumi Devi, and Lord Ramachandra ruled the whole planet for 13,000 years, and then he went back to his abode. And whoever hears this glorious pastimes of Lord Ramachandra is extremely fortunate, and such a person who sincerely hears Lord Ram's pastimes can completely be purified of envy. The 23rd sloka of the 11th chapter says, Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanair Upadharayan Anrisham Saparo Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanair Upadharayan. If you hear the glorious pastimes of Lord Ramachandra from bona fide sources, from authentic sources, then Anrisham Saparo Rajan. Anrisham means one will be completely devoid of envy. The disease of envy is cured by hearing Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Karma Bandhair Pramuchyate. One will also be relieved from the bondage of fruitive activities. That is the glory of hearing Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. We have just compacted all the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra in hardly half an hour. And in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Lord Ram's pastimes are spoken in a very concise, very brief manner in just two chapters. And also Lord Ramachandra's rule was also described. So Ramaraja is glorified. Lord Ramachandra would stay in the kingdom, and then he would give his association to all his all the Ayodhyavasis, and he would send his brothers to go out and conquer different kingdoms. And also Lord Ramachandra conducts so many sacrifices in his Ramarajya. He conducts so many sacrifices, and during those sacrifices he would give all his property to the Brahmanas in the form of charity. And Lord Ramachandra has given everything to the Brahmanas, that only his personal clothes and the nose ring of Sita Devi were left with him. Then the Brahmana said, "Oh, my dear Ram, you are directly staying in our hearts, and that is the greatest wealth, that is the greatest charity. May you never leave our hearts, and we don't want this kingdom, we don't want this property. Please take it back." Then Lord Ramachandra, on the instruction of all these Brahmanas, he accepted that kingdom back again, and then he ruled it as a servant of all these Brahmanas. And in this way, Lord Ramachandra is very exemplary in his character. And Lord Ram's sons are Lava and Kusha. And later in the 12th chapter, Kusha's dynasty is also described by Sukadeva Goswami. Only names in the dynasty are mentioned. And one of the kings in the dynasty of this Ikshvaku or Ramachandra is Nimi Maharaj. And this Nimi Maharaj, once he was conducting a sacrifice, and he requested Vasishtha to become the priest. And Vasishtha already had accepted the priesthood in Indra's sacrifice. So then Vasishtha told, "I am going to conduct Indra's sacrifice. My dear Nimi, you can please wait till I come back." But Nimi Maharaj considered that, "Why should I waste my time? So when will Vasishtha come back and perform this sacrifice? So human birth is very rare, and we cannot afford to waste time." So Nimi Maharaj continued to perform his sacrifice. And when Vasishtha came back, Vasishtha understood that his disciple has already done sacrifice. Then Vasishtha cursed, "I told you to not do the sacrifice. Why did you do sacrifice without me as the priest? So I curse you that your material body will fall." So then Nimi Maharaj also cursed Vasishtha that his body also may fall. Because Vasishtha Muni was very greedy for the lucrative donations or dakshinas that he would be getting in Indra's sacrifice, and he also wanted the similar donations from Nimi Maharaj also. So he wanted both. So that's why he wanted Nimi to wait for a while. But Nimi did not do because of this reason, Vasishtha cursed Nimi Maharaj, and Nimi also cursed Vasishtha Maharaj. Both of them lost their material bodies, but Vasishtha again regained his material body through Mitra and Varuna. And that's a little short story. Mitra and Varuna, once they became captivated by seeing an Apsara, and through that semen Vasishtha was born again, and he again got a body. But Nimi Maharaj never wanted to accept another material body. Although the demigods wanted to offer, still Nimi Maharaj did not want that body, because he thought that this body is a material entanglement unnecessarily. So then the demigods blessed Nimi Maharaj to remain in his spiritual body, and then he went back to the abode of the Supreme Lord eventually. So this is the story of Nimi Maharaj, and this completes the dynasty of Sun God. So whatever we have discussed in these two episodes is the dynasty of Sun God. So Sun God is also called Vivasvan, and Vivasvan's son is Vaivasvata Manu, and Vaivasvata Manu had 10 sons including Ikshvaku and many other, Sharyati, then Prishadhara, Kavi, and so many other sons are there. 10 sons he has, and we have seen the dynasties of all these sons, and while discussing these dynasties we also have seen several great personalities including Lord Ramachandra, then Harishchandra, then also Ambarish Maharaj, then Mandhata. So many such great kings are there in Sun Dynasty. And in the next episode we will begin the description of Moon Dynasty. And in the Moon Dynasty also we have very great personalities like Buddha, then Pururava, Yayati, Rantidev, and others. So we will discuss that in the next episode. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.